Matthew chapter number 11, Kingdom Values. And let's read this aloud together, all right? And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Wow. That's a pretty powerful statement, is it not? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm ready. How about you? I said, I'm ready. How about you? Don't get comfortable. Get ready to participate. I decree tonight that while suffering and trials are normal for the body of Christ, you are embracing the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. You're being greeted in this place by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be able to worship your way through every circumstance that you face. Because the devil realizes he cannot stop you. God has blessed you. And no weapon he forms against you shall prosper. And we are right in the middle of what God is speaking to his church. See, it's not denomination that identifies the church. And I love our fellowship. I'm grateful. I've been a part of it since the time I was born. I love what God does among our fellowship. I wouldn't want to be a part of any other organized fellowship than the one I'm in. But the most important focus is his nation, his kingdom. We must never get blindsided by finding ourselves self-indulging in just denominationalism when it's always about his kingdom, not ours. And I'm not sure how many in the body of Christ don't realize that the enemy has stolen from you. Even generationally, he has stolen from you. We have been robbed. There are some things we know we lost, and some things we don't know we've lost. And we need to get those all back. So I want to speak of some of those things tonight in the kingdom, because the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Kingdom-style praise is required tonight because we're going into the enemy's camp. We want back what he took. I will restore the years, God promised, that the enemy stole from us, ate away, chipped away, took away from us. Amen? He's been holding on to some things that belong to us. And that's why we must keep Judah with us, the praisers. We are not leaving the camp until we get our stuff and our generation's stuff back. And we have to come to the conclusion that it's going to take passion and aggression to get back what has been stolen, or we will remain by the side of the road whimpering over our losses, complaining, whining. What should be our posture? Not missing out on what God has promised, right? When I see his people being shortchanged, I become very aggressive about wanting to get it back for his people. Don't miss your blessing. And I come against this kind of stuff, and I can't sit back when people are struggling. I hate that devil because of the stuff that he does. And whether we are born with ancestral sin or through ignorance or bad decisions, the enemy has victimized us. And people struggle to get back or to get out of circumstances. Listen to this in 1 Samuel. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover what? All. The backstory, David and his troops are returning from successful missions, interjecting against adversaries and taking them out that were trying to do damage in the nation of Israel. And while they were gone from their encampment and families, another enemy came in from behind and flanked them and raided them and took away their goods, their family members, and burned the entire village to the ground. And as David and his mighty warriors come back to their camp, they realize everything valuable to them, family, belongings, everything that they possessed was gone. It's just not there. It's been stolen. In our lives, even before we were born, the enemy was raiding our families and stealing from them their inheritance and consequently our inheritance. Some of these things we are not even aware of. Stolen, robbed, consequently struggle from day one for some people because they've already come in shortchanged. Issues we were born into, battles we are fighting that existed before we arrived in time. If your parents had become aware of these issues, if they got around the right people, and that's so important, that determined if they received some victory. Listen, if they were able to subdue what the enemy had tried to do in your parents' lives or grandparents' lives, thus you didn't have to overcome certain issues because they neutralized them before you stepped on the scene. Many have experienced lack. That's one of them. Family indebtedness that goes on generationally, not knowing how the bills will be paid. And the enemy may not have targeted you and your family in that specific way, but perhaps ancestral marriage breakdown is on your timeline when it comes to your lineage. Family after family broken up and broken down, or addictive behaviors in your family lineage, or immoral behavior in your lineage, or specific illnesses that get passed down to you from one generation to the next. It's not an accident that doctors are going to ask you on your visit, tell me about your family. Have they ever had any of these diseases? Have your dad or your mom or your grandparents ever suffered from any of these? Listen to me. That same stuff applies spiritually. We have all faced issues where the enemy has walked around and freely pillaged our ancestry. We didn't have a say-so as children as to what has been influencing us. But we do have a say-so now. I can change direction as a believer. I don't have to blame anybody for my background. I am now a man of God and man of God enough to realize what was missing, and now I can go and get it. So don't blame anyone for your weaknesses. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we're ready to war for what belongs to us. There were struggles our family endured when I was a young boy. When we were children, weeks of no income. The enemy had snuck in and started stealing the health of my father and consequently the security of the family and the blessing that came with that. And when my dad recognized his need for full submission and surrender to the Lord, see, it took a crisis for him to come to full submission. And for a lot of people, that's the way it is. It takes a crisis. And he regained his health. He began tithing, giving just incredibly great offerings to those in ministry and for those in need. And he blessed those ministries one after another. He brought home to lunch on Sunday university students that were starting to attend our church. And he had no idea who they were. But these were people in our fellowship had great lineage in the Assemblies of God. One was a descendant of J. Roswell Flower, one of our founders. His grandson was attending Yale University. He and John Ashcroft became friends on the campus, and they were coming home to lunch on Sunday afternoon because my dad couldn't stand to see a couple of college kids not eat a good meal on a Sunday. So they came to our house, not because of who they were, but Dad was learning to bless and to serve and do whatever he could to provide for the kingdom of God. See, and God refreshed and brought back and blessed because he came to the place where he realized there's got to come a stop to the stuff that's going sideways in our family. The enemy attempts to snatch away resources, to intimidate, to bring insecurity in a sense we will never be favored, that somehow God is going to overlook us. Those experiencing those moments generally don't know how to overcome, so consequently, they just learn to survive. I am not just a survivor. I am an overcomer. Amen? And when you're a survivor, you tend to back away from anything that's challenging, even from the remedy when it's placed before you. The remedy is to become a tither, a giver, one who serves, one who gets all in, is willing to give what we have for the kingdom. The enemy bringing fear of further loss, you don't act on the remedy, you run the other way from it. I've got an announcement for those who don't know who you are. You are an overcomer. I said you're an overcomer. And it doesn't matter the issue the enemy imposed in your lineage. There's an overcomer inside of you tonight. Once you've allowed Jesus to take the reins of life, you have an overcomer in you. And what you're hearing tonight is vital to you taking your position in the kingdom of God. Something on the inside says, I'm not going to quit until I see my dream come to pass. Does anyone want to make that kind of a resolution? I'm not going to quit until I see my dream come to pass. You don't want to just keep dreaming about things and never seeing the manifestation. If God gives you a dream, you can have it, you can obtain it. He will not give you a dream of a good life if all you're going to get are bad days for the rest of your life. Anytime you dream good, think good, God will give you good. And the word says David and his warriors come back to the place that was supposed to be peaceful. They'd been fighting. They needed rest. They needed to be refreshed. They needed time away. And they get some leave, and they come back to the place where that's supposed to be provided. They had been to war. They're looking for a place where they could have respite and oasis, but the people they loved were gone, stolen. And now David and his men are emotionally spent. They're done. I mean, they're crying, they're complaining, they have no solutions for what to do. There's nothing left, no evidence of where they are. They're done. They're ready to quit. They're ready to throw in the towel. They're on the verge of revolt. And as David gathers himself, when he's cried where he can cry no more, when he begins to turn himself to the Lord and he inquires of God, what do we do? Father, how do we get this back? And do not pretend everything is okay when it's not. David did not. He understood what it meant to suffer. He understood what it meant to be depleted, to cry out to the Lord. That's hypocritical to walk around acting like everything's okay when it's not. We want you walking in authority. We want you walking in divine victory. No pretending that you're something that you're not. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring about a mindset change. Victory, not defeat. Say, I'm next.
I'm next.
Amen. So even in the middle of a fight or being depleted, when you have to step back and regather yourself only to get up and go fight again, you're honest about it, but you've got a victor spirit in your heart, an authority spirit in your heart. Your next always becomes now. And the enemy will come in to attempt to loot your life and take inheritance that should be passed down and handed down to you. Calvary, you have to be aggressive when you're going after your generational possessions. You have to be aggressive. When you uncap several generations, you'll begin to walk in the blessings that God wanted them to have and consequently you to have when you receive back all that is rightfully yours, what God intended for your family. There are blessings that should be yours, and the enemy has taken them from you. Let me ask you, do you desire back what the enemy stole from you? Do you want that back? Everything that he came and looted from your life? So let's get into the camp of the enemy and take back all. Family members, freedom, goods, our inheritance. We will cancel the plans of the adversary attempting to cancel out yet another generation of your bloodline. He's not going to get away with it. Not this time. I declare it will end tonight. Amen. You need to declare that in your family as well. The negative work of the enemy will break tonight. The devil will no longer work through your bloodline. He targeted your bloodline specifically for damage. I declare tonight that day is over. Everything God predestined you to have, you shall have. Amen. Is anybody here tonight? Yes. Huh? God will sustain you through the testing as you achieve the purposes for which you were created. He will help you in the battle. He will help you in the test. You will rise up out of the ashes. Bottom is not your destiny. You get up, go back, and get what belongs to you. God wants you to have what He promised. And you can't be casual when you know some things have been taken. You're not casual about it. You get intense about it. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus wasn't mincing any words in that statement. He was making it very clear about what we're to do and how we're to do it. You feel that desire to get back what was taken. All of a sudden, it begins to burn inside of you. And anything that is yours, take it back. And if you find something that belongs to a brother or sister, you hold it up and let them know they can get theirs back as well. All of it. Amen? It has your name on it. Do you desire to have it back? Heaven is open over your life when you put God first. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. So weeping has endured for a season. Now joy days are here. Thank you, Jesus. So we're not called to do nothing but assist people as they mourn and suffer. But we're also called to wipe their tears and get up seeking God and then encourage others to advance and get everything that God predestined for their lives. Not to just come alongside and comfort them in their trouble, but to encourage them to get up and go back and fight. If the enemy stole it, we are here to get it back. Amen? And when you release your faith to tell that thief, we will not live under your abuse or your oppression, or your thievery. We're going to have everything back that you took away from us. We are here to reclaim our loved ones as he's imprisoned, to get our territory back, our possessions back, everything that God wanted us to have. Whatever he took and thought we were unaware, we came to get it back. I'm excited. Anybody tell? I'm so excited. Okay. And the fight comes out of me when I get excited. He should have never touched your stuff. He should have never touched Calvary Christian Center. He thought we would remain passive. He thought wrong. Be ready to be blessed, because the kingdom is here within us. The will of God is being done in us. And the Holy Spirit is here to help you to take back what belongs to the kingdom of God. He will not allow you to go into that fight alone while you're retrieving kingdom possessions. We're going to go get it together. We're not fighting by ourselves. The Holy Spirit accompanies us to get back everything that belongs to God and consequently to his people until the time for the final restoration of all things. That's the day we're living in. Peter prophesied it about our day, and we intend to get everything back restored. Amen? So number one, we must realize what things are missing in the kingdom. We must realize what things are missing in the kingdom. Oh my goodness, what a list we could make here. Huh? David realized what was missing. When there has been generational drama, we might not be aware of what's missing because we got so comfortable with the way things were, we didn't even know what was missing any longer. And sometimes we allow things because we're not even aware of what's been missing. And we start thinking this is normal. We accept that lot in life because we think this is normal. What's been missing? The passion we had to serve the Lord, the love we had to be around His presence, the waiting for Him to pour Himself out upon us and drench us with His glory. Amen? To watch Him perform miracles and answers to prayer and see that escalate beyond what we hear on a Wednesday night until it multiplies throughout the entire body of Christ. Amen? To watch there be a passion for those that we either know or are a part of our lineage who don't know Jesus, but we are so motivated we can't sit still until we have another time with them to present the gospel, to have a passion for those who need to hear the message of hope in a very hopeless culture. Amen? What's been missing? We accept our lot in life and think, well, this is just kind of normal. This is the new norm in the church. And some take the position, you know, my grandparents were poor, and my parents were poor, and I'm poor. Always been, always will be poor. My grandparents divorced, and my parents divorced, and now we're getting a divorce. That's the normal that some people in the body of Christ have come to accept. That is not the norm for the people of the kingdom of God. A new normal belongs to us. And why? We will not repeat the failures of our forefathers by the will and the grace of God. We will break that in our lives. I release faith to you to accept a new normal. Don't become accustomed to the bondage that the enemy has imposed on you and to what those who came before you accepted as okay. Let there be a transformation in the mind. And you realize, here I am, but something's missing. There's a component that I've got to have. There's more than what I've got right now. There's more, and I'm missing it. David realized there was something missing. And when he returned to Ziklag, he realized some things were missing. Peace can be missing. Is there peace in your heart? Do you remember and think that God desired all your family members to suffer from depression? Every one of them in the lineage from which you came? You see, when I walk into the sanctuary, I observe the lighting. That's one of the first things I look around at. Are any bulbs out? Are the lights all on? Is everything the way it's supposed to be? I do. I just observe that. That's the way I am. I observe who's here. I observe who's not. If there's someone missing, something off, something not the way it should be, I recognize it. Because if you're not observant, you won't know what's missing. And the enemy loves to keep you in a place where you don't notice. And if you don't notice, you'll never pursue what is missing. And if you're used to living in darkness, you'll not desire the light. Whenever there is dimness in your life, something is off. Something's blocking the light. Something is blocking productivity. Something's gotten into the interference mode in your life. Gain a kingdom perspective and go retrieve whatever God has designed for your life. Even before you were born, God designed it for you. And learn to discern what things are missing in your life, missing in your family, in your health, in your mental stability, in provision, in addiction, with broken marriages and relationships, and realize something is missing. Something didn't get handed off right. God did not intend for your lineage to struggle and to fight with this stuff all the days of your life. God did not intend for you and your lineage to have to live out generation after generation on assistance, being in bondage to the government. That was never God's design for us as kingdom members. God didn't plan for your lineage to live on antidepressants. He planned for you to live at peace. He designed you to live in wholeness, in body, mind, and spirit. Why don't you just snatch your peace tonight and say, that's mine in Jesus' name? decree it's over. It's God's time in my life. It might have skipped previous generations, but it's mine tonight. It belongs to me. David realized there were things missing. When you attend church, you may think some people are missing. We need to ask ourselves, how can we be so attractive? People can't drive by without stopping. What's missing? What do we need differently, right? The devil wants to steal our attractiveness. You know, and this happens frequently to me. I hear people in town brag about their churches and in the process asking other Christians to come and check them out. It's time we started telling our community how attractive Calvary Christian Center is. Amen? Tell your neighbor, we're getting it back tonight. Number two, David inquired of God first. We must do the same. God, should I go back and get all this? Are you supportive of that idea? The enemy has taken everything we love. Will you support us if we go to retrieve it? Is that your plan? Is that what you want? We cannot assume God will be on board. And because somebody took something, we can just go back and get it. We can't assume that. Many at times have compulsively acted without God's support. Let that sink in a minute. Better listen. Many at times have compulsively acted without God's support. We cannot succeed without God's support. I cannot do this without God's support. Just because you have an opportunity, listen to me, the bigger question is, Lord, are you in this? Lord, are you supportive of this? David said, I'm not going if you don't go. Moses said, if you don't go with us, I'm not taking your people there. It can look really good, but if God is not with you, it can turn out really bad. And there was a land dispute between Abraham and Lot. And Lot immediately chose to take over the good land, the fertile land. It was green, it was lush. And he said, that's what I want, that's what I'm getting. Abraham said, go ahead and take it. I'll take what's left. Abraham understood, you can go with what looks the best, but I have God with me, so whatever I get will be better than wherever you go. Lot didn't recognize his need for God's support in that choice. Abraham knew he needed God's support. Fine, I'll take the worst of the land. I'll take the worst of the environment. I'll take the worst of the characters around that land. But if you show up, if your blessing is on it, I don't have to have the best to begin, but when I am done, listen, I will rise to the top, because if God is for you, who can be against you? You saw what happened to Lot. You saw what happened to his family. David said, God, are you going to support me in this endeavor? And he said, yes, I will support you. And David looked at his men and said, let's roll. Let's go. And no matter the finances, no matter the size of the core of those that are going with you, no matter the opposition that you have to face, perhaps outnumbering you, if you go with me, I can go with this thing, and we're going to see great results. Amen? Amen? And to someone here who does not know, if you have God's support, if you gain God's support, you will retrieve everything. Things you know, things you don't know, without fail. God will give back to you what's been taken. Some people just kind of sit around waiting to see and then decide if we're going to jump in and participate. Well, let's see if that's going to work. They don't know that God is with us. Didn't they get the memo? Didn't they get the text message that we sent out? They didn't get the download from the Holy Spirit. God is pouring new wine into Calvary Christian Center. Step out of the old mindset. God is pouring in new wine. We're about to stretch. Amen? In the process of this, don't speak with people who will pull you back. Speak with people who pull you forward. I'm not called to change anybody. The Holy Spirit requires we change. I'm here to awaken the body of Christ and bring awareness of where He desires us to go. Some have forgotten who they are in Christ. Incoming text for you. We're getting our identity back. Amen? And once we have our identity back, we reacquire our attraction. And that means we are not victims, we are victors, winners in His kingdom. And God is with us, and if God is with us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. All things working together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If you're called in this place, clap your hands and celebrate your calling. Celebrate it. Celebrate. Believe God has already taken care of it before we engage it. God will never send you into an endeavor if He hasn't already gone before you and provided for it. So He wants you to exercise faith and trust in advance. Okay, God, I'm trusting You. You're going to help us to go after it and recover all. We don't understand the setbacks when they arrive, and they come on the journey. And not everything is going to go as smoothly as we hope them to go. There will be setbacks. There will be times when we get rocked off our balance. But they are all part of the journey that God has for us to get us all that belongs to us and that which belongs, listen, to the from the, away from the enemy as well. Because that enemy has stolen. Listen, watch this. Then we begin to understand why. We think at times we're in a fog. We're not in a fog. But it makes sense all of a sudden when we realize God has clear vision for those who follow Him. It's all crystal clear tonight. You will see clearly now because the storm has moved out of your way. Amen? The kingdom mentality looks to retrieve all that has been taken. And to every dominating principality that has ruled over our community, you will no longer influence God's people. No more controlling thinking by fear and manipulation. You will have to let God's people go. I stand here tonight with a Moses spirit. It's time for us to break out of Egypt and head toward our promised land. And turning from that into a Moses saying, we are going into a Joshua saying, we are going in. Yeah. Why are we being tested? Why are we going through this? Now I know. Say, now this makes sense. Doing the right thing and chaos showed up. Yeah, that's the way it works. But you learn how to keep your cool in a nice situation? No. Anybody can do that. You learn to keep your cool in a tough situation. In spite of distractions everywhere, we get crystal clear vision. Number three, at God's command, pursue and recover all. It wasn't David's command. It was God's command. He is our commander in chief in this kingdom. My commander in chief has never lost a battle. My commander-in-chief doesn't make promises he won't keep. My commander-in-chief does not bluff. My commander-in-chief takes action. He is our commander-in-chief, and they recovered all. But it didn't stop there. God's speaking very clearly tonight. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? God is not asking us. He has commanded us to go pursue, overtake, and recover all. That's his command. And someone tonight will realize you are anointed to recover everything the enemy stole in your life, even from generations before you. And when David began to recover all, he realized it was not just his family and his warrior's family, but this enemy had done this repeatedly from one kingdom to the next kingdom to the next kingdom. This enemy had been raiding and stealing and taking families and taking their goods and their belongings and burning their villages to the ground and their wealth and their goods. This enemy had been doing this all over the territory, and they weakened every group of people and left them without the strength they once had. Just like the enemy has tried to weaken every race and every culture by stealing from every generation and every culture and every race. And he's taken from all of us in our families. And when David realized God was with him, he went in, not only for his wives and children and his warriors and their families, he also saw the possessions of other kingdoms. And he went ahead and got everybody's stuff back. Everything that they had taken. Worship team, teachers, ushers, board members, pastors, members of the body. David said, since the Lord is with me, I might as well go ahead and take everyone's stuff back. Praise the Lord. I dare you, as I close, celebrate what God wants to do. We're not just getting our personal stuff back. We are repossessing everybody's stuff back who's a part of Calvary Christian Center. So I need a Judah praise right now. Can we get a Judah praise in this house? A praise to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're celebrating not just our families, not just our children, possessions. No, not just that. We're celebrating every household, every family represented, your brothers, your sisters, your lineage, your bloodline, your culture. We're taking it all back tonight. We're celebrating victory at Calvary Christian Center. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're good.